Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, welcome to Industrial Talk, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates you, the industry professionals, the companies that get it done. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, absolutely, and you are changing lives, you're solving problems, you're changing the world. How can we argue about that? Also, this is sort of unique, so take a note of this. This will also be rebroadcast on a new podcast called Satellite Superheroes. Now, we're going to be identifying how satellites, the technology in satellites, will benefit industry as a whole. It is exciting. It is absolutely amazing innovation. All right, we've got in the hot seat, speaking of satellites, Nitin Das and Rahul Saxena with AI Dash. And we're going to just start talking about that satellite 101 because I need to know that. All right, let's get cracking. They're doing so many things with satellite, that, and I don't even know that. The technology is mad, just mad. And AI Dash is leading the way definitely on how that is really impacting industry as a whole. So it's a big deal, big deal. But before we get into that, I want to make sure that you, we've been talking a lot about, are you getting the most out of ... You getting the most out of your engagements, getting the most out. I'm all about marketing. You just got to know about that. And I think marketing as a whole is really important to your sales, right? It makes sense, right? They're both hand in hand. And I think marketing drives the sales organizations, the sales activity. And really just sales is a confirmation of what's been talked about in marketing. That's just me. We can expand upon that. But I have been really sort of talking about, hey, are you getting the most out of? And you got to ask those questions, especially today, getting the most out of whatever it is, fill in the blank. The other thing is that I want to be able to just sort of begin sharing of how I sort of look at markets and how I help clients succeed. One, you find that target. Who are they? 50. Just let's keep it manageable. Not a scattergun approach of, let's say, 30 or 15,000. That's a tough one. I don't know how to filter those out. But let's just say we identify and we do our research and we identify 50. 50 is manageable. And in that 50, we identify the why we want to connect with them, why this is an important contact, why this is strategic for the success of our company. Figure that out. And then from there, be able to create that plan of attack, that how to help them, whoever those target, succeed. If you truly have a passion to work with these companies, these individuals, you've got to help them succeed. Does that happen right off the bat? No. You have to create the relationships. But at the heart, right here, at the heart, you want to help them succeed. Because if they're happy and they are successful, everybody's happy and everybody succeeds. And that is really the goal. So when you start to identify those prospects that are important and strategic to your business and answer the why they are, then you develop that strategy that helps them succeed, whatever that might be. Hey, I was thinking about you. Here it is. Or what I do is like, you got to get on the podcast. You got to elevate that voice. You've got to get that message out there. You got to tell that story because it impacts and helps people succeed. That's how I roll. So get the most out of, target your prospects, understand that why, whittle it down, right? Get, you know, let's just be honest here. In your scattergun 15, 30,000 whatever list, there is a small portion that are truly meaningful and strategic to your business. Let's just start, and why don't we just cut right to the chase, identify that. All the tools are out there to make that happen. Why waste your time? Sure, you can keep hammering this stuff out there and hopefully somebody comes to the website and hopefully somebody... No. Let's be very strategic on who we connect with and help them succeed. Just That's how I grew a business, took it public. That's how I took another company and sold it. It's just I wanted to truly solve problems for them to help them succeed. All right. Now, again, you heard me allude to it. This is Satellite Superheroes, which is a new podcast, and it's all a part of the Industrial Talk network, where we're going to be able to, and where we are, highlighting incredible professionals, incredible companies that are delivering innovations in their specific space. Industrial Talk, yeah, I can be pretty high level. But the reality is that we need to have this conversation in satellites. We do. We need to begin tapping in to these individuals that understand the impact, the positive impact of what is taking place in the world of satellites from an industrial perspective, from an environmental perspective, from, you know, and in this case, we're going to be talking veg management's perspective. It is powerful. It is transformative, and it is going to change the way we do business going forward. And the reality is we need this. Businesses, if you really want to have that business that is resilient, if you want to really have that business that knows what to do and when to do it and be able to deploy your capital in the right way, you need innovations like what we're going to be talking about from AI Dash. Satellite is huge, and it's only getting better. Wait till you hear what is taking place. I'm telling you right now, in the world of satellite. And the reason why this particular conversation is so interesting, first, it's a launch. Two, it is, from my perspective, that sort of satellite 101 conversation. I don't know anything. I know they go up in a rocket, and they get out there, and they get into the right orbit, and they do things. But the reality is that it's mad innovation, and these are incredible solutions. All right, let's get on to it. Nitin and Rahul, AI Dash, they are co-founders of that particular company, and I'm just telling you, we're going to be talking about satellites, Satellite 101, how satellites are positively impacting the way vegetation management happens, and other things. So really enjoy this conversation. All right, welcome to Industrial Talk. We have Nitin Das and Rahul. Okay, Saxenian. Did I do it?
Yeah, that's fine. That will do.
All right, listeners, in your face, I got the names right. All right, we are talking AI Dash. We are talking about satellites. We're talking about utilities. We're talking about how the use of satellite technology, AI, is going to significantly, if not now, significantly improve vegetation management within the utility space. And as an old crotchety, crusty journeyman utility lineman, I love this topic. So I will be geeking out, listeners, because, well, it's an important topic to have, and I think it's going to be just absolutely transformative when it comes to managing vegetation within the utility space. I like it. It's a cool topic. All right, before we get into that, Nitin, for the listeners out there, give us a little 411, a little background on who you are and why you're such an incredible professional. And then I'll throw it to you, Rahul.
Okay. So hi, everyone. I'm Nitin. So I'm one of the co-founder and chief AI officer at AI Dash. So here in AI Dash, I'm basically taking care of all the research and development over AI ML solutions. I have around 18 plus of years of experience with a computer science background. And for the last many years, I'm mostly into AI ML technology and building solutions around that.
It's I have a number of conversations with AI technology, machine learning, simulations, data, and all of that stuff. And this is a fascinating, and you're right at the cutting edge, which is very cool, of how you're deploying that AI platform technology in the world of satellites, which is and benefits us. And I'm a big fan of that. Rahul, give us a little background on who you are.
Yeah, hi everyone. This is Rahul. I'm co-founder and CTO at AI Dash. So around about 20 years of experience. Some of them was work around building enterprise security software at RSA Security. So did a lot of right from design development to management around building these softwares for large enterprises, Fortune 500 enterprises, a bit of startup experience on primarily on the B2C space. So mix of, you know, entrepreneurship and technical roles. So at AI Dash, I look at, you know, building all these different cool applications based on the cool stuff which Nitin is doing in the AI side and building the platform around that.
See, listeners, this is going to be a great conversation, as I alluded to, just because we've got two incredible professionals with mad skills in the world of technology. And what makes it exciting for me, outside of the fact I love the utility space, the power space, the energy space, is that I think there's a tremendous transformation that is going to have to happen within the utility world. And I think that it's wonderful that you guys are leading that charge. Now, many of the listeners, and I am going to be candid with you, many of the listeners know of satellites, know of, you know, yeah, hey, I've got my dish and I guess I'm getting, you know, whatever the, but there's a lot more to it. If you could give us, Rahul, some sort of that historical perspective of satellites would be, and sort of lay that foundation, and then we're going to expand from there.
Sure. So the first artificial satellite, or, you know, the era of remote sensing began with this satellite called Sputnik 1, which was launched as, you know, as early as 1957. So it's been, what, around 65 years since the first remote sensing satellite was launched. So that was the first satellite which could complete the orbit of Earth every 96 minutes and can transmit signals which can be received by Earth, right? That's where the remote sensing era kind of began back almost 65 years back. Over a period of time, you know, this space has really evolved. So it started with, let's say, a single sensor, which was more optical, and you can just see, like, you know, the camera image, what you see for your normal camera. Eventually, from, let's say, 60s to 80s, it started getting into multispectral, which started capturing more bands. And Nitin is an expert that can deep dive more into, you know, what those bands are. From there, we got into radio images, thermal images over next years. And I think for last couple of decades, the journey has been, rather than having very large satellites, to what they call nano satellites or smaller satellites, which are very small. And rather than, you know, launching a very large satellite, which is very costly and takes a lot of time, you can actually have, you know, a very small dimensional satellite, which you can launch multiple of them, have a constellation of them. So that's where the world has evolved. So just starting from, you know, first satellite to these ones.
I'm writing this stuff down and I'm going, nano satellites, man, a cluster. I'm all, that is incredible. I didn't know. And what's interesting, back to Sputnik, you know, I've read about it and all that stuff. Really, the premise behind Sputnik as a result of just a satellite is to be able to say, it's transmitting, beep, 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 whatever it is, and we're receiving. So we've just proved that we can do up here and receive whatever that signal, and that is a sort of a leap forward in the advancement of technology. I've got to ask, and this is to you, Nitin. How many satellites are being launched every year, right? And then can you explain for the listeners, and Rahul mentioned it, bands. I don't know. Explain a little bit of that. Thanks.
Sure. Definitely. So as we have seen the natural progression of the satellites, so these days, the 1,000 new satellites launched every year. And I would like to say basically the different type of satellites, started from Earth observation, then terrestrial, multispectral satellites are hyperspectral, and multisensor satellites are there. So in the multispectral, basically, there are multiple bands having different frequencies and different wavelengths. So those are called basically the red, green, blue, NIR, red edge, and SWIR, that is shortwave infrared bands. And combination of these bands can be used for solving different kind of problems. So that is basically the multispectral part. There are the different kind of satellites called the thermal satellites. Basically, they capture the thermal signature of any object on the Earth. So that is the thermal satellite. Hyperspectral satellites are basically having more than 200 plus continuous bands. And they basically will open up a new era for basically solving different kind of problems, which can be solved through multispectral satellites. And there's another kind of satellite called SAR, that is a synthetic aperture satellite. If you look at optical satellites, there is a limitation. They basically can't see through, they can't see in the night and can't see through the cloud. But they are synthetic aperture satellite. Those are called radio satellites. They can see, they can penetrate through the cloud, and they can also see objects in the night as well. So these are the different kind of satellites with their corresponding bands.
Of the satellites, and you bring up a good point, because you just said, hey, satellite could be this, satellite could be that. This is, we can see this, we can see whatever. It's amazing technology. If I'm a satellite person, how do I manage that 1,000, new satellite inventory given what I have here, right? What is being launched? That's to you, Nitin. How do they make that determination? Or are all satellites multi-capable?
No, so all the satellites are not multi-capable. So there are basically multiple sensors installed on a single satellite. But for example, let's say thermal satellite. So there's a single sensor, there's a thermal sensor. And a SAR satellite, there's a single SAR sensor. So yeah, so based on the use case, based on all other things, basically, they basically installed multiple sensor or multiple camera on a single satellite.
And it's just going to get more and more, right? And the technology, it's just going to continue to advance. And just like anything else, it's definitely not static. It's a very dynamic type of environment. Yeah, yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. Me, old crotchety, crusty journeyman lineman, I'm all about that human inspection. I got in a truck and I went down, I looked at that tower and I climbed that tower. And then I looked at that insulator, and that was very labor intensive, right? And so then here comes drones. Drones were like, all right, here, and I can see it and take great pictures. And then of course, LIDAR and so on. Explain to the listeners of the difference between, let's say, the drone LIDAR human approach versus the satellite, why that is so, I think that's transformative. Can Rahul, could you sort of help that argument? Sure. Why the question?
Yeah, sure. So I think the biggest difference there is in terms of sheer scale, which satellite can do. The satellite, like I mentioned, I mean, starting from Sputnik era, which was covering the whole Earth in 96 minutes. So there's a massive coverage, which is happening pretty rapidly, right? So none of the options you mentioned, like LIDAR, whether it is fitted on a drone or a helicopter, or obviously for human beings, it's not possible to scale at that rapid a speed.
Right?
So for example, a satellite can capture very large areas, like up to, let's say, 1,000 square kilometers, which is just not possible in, drones or, from a human angle. So that's one of the major differences. So if you are looking at, if you keep going a bit far from the subject, the resolution might drop a bit, but it is more than compensated by the sheer scale by which, you can get this imagery captured. Apart from that, since satellite imagery, keeps taking the image and keeps sending it to Earth, over a period of time, you get archives of these imagery, right? So if I'm looking at an area, I'm not just getting an image as of today, right? Whether it is human or drone or LIDAR, you can just capture what is there today, right? Unless you have been doing this for a very long time. In satellite, I can actually go to the past and make a future prediction, right? I can see the pattern and make a prediction based on that.
See, and I like that. And listeners, that means that I have a picture. Let's say I have a picture a week ago. I have a picture today. I have a picture a month ago. And Nitin, correct me if I'm wrong, through the AI capability, be able to determine, because the key here is, and I would imagine, correct me, is that, hey, I'm a utility. I have vegetation management. That is a cost to me, and I want to deploy my money efficiently. Don't go over here. Go over there and be able to communicate and deliver that type of insights, because you have those pictures, vision of from above. Is that correct?
Yeah. So basically, you take pictures at multiple point of time, and you can basically estimate the change between these two images, and that change can be translated into a problem statement, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was doing patrol work, the reality is if there was a rain and there was a eucalyptus, I knew that was going to grow. And so I'd have to get in the truck and get my, and go out there and cut or waste my time and go out there and say, oh, I still have clearance from whatever the power line. So, or whatever it might be, it is the ability to be able to truly deploy my money. This is, dollars and cents, my maintenance dollars in vegetation management to the right. And can I see the type of tree it is? Like the type of tree, here's eucalyptus, here's oak, here's this. And be able to also have that determination? Is that a possibility? See, you can see I geek out on this stuff because I have that same problem. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure. Rahul.
Okay. Go ahead, Rahul.
So I'll just give you a high level and then Nitin, maybe you can add to it. So, I think there are two things here. So from Nitin's perspective, I think, it's a problem which obviously with his AI algorithms, he can solve. The other angle here is it also depends upon what you need from this solution, right? So if in satellite imagery, I can go back to the past, all I'm looking at is whether it's a eucalyptus tree, whether it is some other tree, what's the growth rate, what's the clearance, right? So if I'm inspecting manually, so if it is a eucalyptus tree, I understand the growth rate and can make a cycle trim prediction based on that. But if I am, just having this data independent of the species of the tree, I can make a prediction independent of the species of the tree, right?
Yeah.
So knowing the species of tree becomes slightly less important. But yeah, to your point, I think Nitin, you can add more around the, species detection.
I was iterating the same thing basically. So with the current set of images, you can basically get the current state of the vegetation, but you do. And with basically the historical images, you can estimate the growth rate of each of the tree without knowing the species. We don't require the species because we estimated the growth rate of each and every tree within a given area of interest.
Do you, and this is to you, Nitin, do you also in your AI solution incorporate weather?
Yes, weather is an important factor, which basically weather, soil, all these basically variables are the part of AI model.
It dovetails nicely with the next question, and this is to you, Nitin. There is a lot of chatter, a lot of discussion around disaster management. We see it, right? It just happens. Sadly, it will happen again this year, and we're going to have that same conversation, and it's just going to. With the AI satellite solution, how does that help with that? How does it minimize and be able to sort of elevate that disaster conversation?
Sure, definitely. So I'll basically give an example of wildfire, how the satellite can be used in the wildfire. So there are three components in wildfire: the precondition before the wildfire, during the wildfire, and the post after the wildfire happens. So before the wildfire, the satellite data is used to identify the wildfire risk zones, which can be used for hardening the infrastructures and all. So if you already know in advance what all areas are important for wildfire perspective, low, mid, high, categorize those in low, mid, high, then utilities can take appropriate actions before time for hardening the grid and all those things. During the wildfire, because there's a natural calamity which can't be avoided, so if the wildfire is happening, so satellite data can be used for basically estimating the direction and the speed of the wildfire, and then the utility can take appropriate actions. For example, the evacuation on time. So if they know the directions and all. And post-wildfire, basically, the post-wildfire damage can be estimated through satellite data, which can be used for restoration and many other purposes.
I'm having a hard time poking holes in your value proposition for utilities. I mean, it makes sense. So if I'm a utility, and I've had this conversation with utilities, is that they're having challenges just like everybody else. And the challenges is, I got workforce management, how do I find the right reputable tree company to trim? And then what do I do? They're struggling. And this is a huge budget component to their business. It just is. If I was a utility company, I would definitely take note, because I think that this is a and it's only going to get better, right? Let me ask you this. So with that statement, it's only going to get better. Where do we see it going, Rahul?
Sure. So I believe one way to look at it is extrapolate the history discussion we had at the beginning of this conversation.
Yep.
So it's going to continue the same way. We had till nano satellites. We are talking about actually pico satellites now, which can be even smaller. So more satellites and more coverage, maybe so cool. Niche use cases. We are also looking at as more of this image becomes available. I mean, there will be some commercial satellites. There will be some satellites launched by government. So more data becomes available. More kind of models are possible as we go along. The AI becomes better. And then as we are going forward, and especially this becomes important for things like, monitoring for, let's say, a wildfire or a storm and those kind of things. So the time travel between, the signal coming from space to Earth, there's a lot of work happening on that side as well, right? So how to reduce that time? So the moment a satellite captures, are there ways the signal can be captured very quickly on Earth so that some action can be taken? So those would be other areas which we feel there will be more advances.
I keep on stubbing my toe on the nano idea. I just have to ask it. What's a nano satellite? How big is a nano satellite? I mean, just physically.
So basically, let me just give you a complete figure so that you'll basically have an understanding of
yes.
The progression in the size of the satellites. So initial, when the Sputnik or the initial phases of satellite, those satellites, basically the weight of those satellites were around 100 to 500 kg, a single satellite. Okay. Then there came the micro satellites, the weight got reduced to 50 to 100 kg. Then there came a nano satellites, the weight still got reduced to less than 10 kg. And there's a newer set of satellites called the pico satellites. The weight is around 100 grams to 1 kg. So that is the new set of satellites.
Come on, listeners, you got to admit that that's pretty cool. That's a great conversation. When I was a boy, I was a big fan of Estes rockets. So I would always shoot off these rockets, right? Now I guess I can get an Estes rocket and put one of those doggone satellites, if it was powerful enough, breaking the Earth the pole. Oh, that's exciting. And you know what else? And I sort of dovetail. Everybody's talking about all the stuff that's in space right now, but those really small satellites address that. I mean, it's not a big clunky thing out there, right? It's they really do. They address that. And from a cost perspective, I mean, I can throw a bunch of them in there and zip it out there and so I get greater bang for the buck for that. Whatever that rocket.
And I would like to add one more thing. So along with the change in the size of the satellite, there's also an increase in the resolution. So basically, initially the resolution was around 50 to 100 meters, and now the resolution is basically 30 centimeter, 20 centimeter, and 50 centimeter. Very high resolution satellites we are getting.
And again. To Rahul's it's going to continue to be better. It's just going to continue. I don't know if I'm scared or excited or whatever, but that's a heck of a conversation. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up outside because I'd love to continue to talk about it. However, Rahul, how does somebody get a hold of you? Like email, they said, hey, Rahul spoke to my heart about satellites. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, email works. I'm on LinkedIn. So any of these medium, I'm available.
Very good. And to you, Nitin, how did they get a hold of you too as well?
The same medium which basically Rahul mentioned.
I got to tell you, gents, this was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. And I know that we're just really just scratched the surface on where what you guys are doing at AI Dash and what's taking place and how you are, I hate to say it, but passionate about helping utilities and their vegetation management, leveraging the technology, leveraging satellite. Heck of a conversation. Well done to you both. I enjoyed that conversation.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, you're saying to yourself, Scott, I do want to go. Just go out to industrialtalk.com. You go out to industrialtalk.com, you will have both all of the contact information, AI Dash, everything that you need to pursue additional information from these two individuals. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed it. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. So stay tuned. Do not go away.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
How about that conversation? That is absolutely amazing. Enjoyed it with Nitin and Rahul with AI Dash. The future is bright when it comes to industrial solutions. You got to check out AI Dash. Go to AI-dash.com. Also, you need to go and support Satellite Superheroes. And the reason you need to do that is because we're going to constantly begin to break down all of the great technology that is impacting in a positive way industry as a whole. And you need to be engaged. You need to take on that learning requirement because you need to learn, you need to collaborate, and you're going to innovate. That's the reality of the situation. All right, if you're looking also at me, I'm in my jacket for the first time in a long time. Had a meeting, and I am still wearing the jacket, so check it out. It's all good. All right, again, let's be a ecosystem that is truly helpful in solving problems and allowing other companies to succeed. All right, we're going to have another great conversation around the corner. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, and you're going to change the world. Talk soon.